be your servant today. I love the fact that we all stand up to begin worship. We're all ready and waiting to praise God today, which is why we're here. We lift up His holy name, and we worship Him in spirit and in truth. And I welcome you to this congregation. If you're new and visiting with us, we want to extend a special welcome to you and hope that you feel at home among us. We feel like we're a family of God, and as soon as you walk in those doors, you're part of us, and we should make you feel that way. And praise God for your blessing us by being here. Thank you. And let's greet one another with the peace of Christ.
Thank you, George. Thank you, choir. Welcome, congregation. What a mighty God we serve. Amen? Amen. Amen. So pleased and thankful and grateful to see all of you coming out on this anticipated day of the big storm. So we just ask God's blessing upon each and every one of us here today to keep us safe and to bring us back here safely. My name is Robin Stowers, and I will be your liturgist this morning. Real quick, I'd like for you to get out your little inserts that we have, and I just want to bring a few things to your attention. Tonight at 5 o'clock, there was to be a communications meeting, but we have gone ahead and canceled that due to the anticipation of the weather. Next, at 6 o'clock this evening, is scheduled a council meeting, and it's the first one we've had this year, and I have been looking forward to coming. But I hear, Bob, if the weather is bad, don't come. Is that what we're doing? Okay. Okay, so it really hasn't been canceled. We could do a one call, says Jamie. So if it's really, really bad, I'll let somebody else take care of that. Okay. Okay. Yes, that's why we have the system and we all want to stay informed. Okay. A brief couple of other announcements is flowers. I want to remind everyone that this is what our flower sheet looks like. It's in the back right by the kitchen door. This is what we use to sign up when you would like to purchase flowers for the week. Now, there's 52 weeks in the year, so this was last year's. And I'm just here to encourage you that if you would like to, once you do sign up, we do appreciate you paying for the flowers, and the cost is $30. And so please, if you feel led to honor God or just to celebrate a birthday or anniversary, don't forget to sign up. We have 40-something weeks left, so we need everyone's participation. Okay? Amen? Okay, next off, it says in here that we're having a Valentine's dinner. Woohoo! We're going to have dinner and a show. Of course, the show will be the not-so-newlywed game. Always a fun thing to attend. Now, it does say in here that I was going to be selling tickets. Well, my husband didn't make me any tickets. So, what I've decided to do... what we've decided to do, the only reason we wanted to do tickets was to have a head count so we would know how much food to prepare. This is not a fundraiser. This is just a love gathering, okay? And we're keeping it cheap. It's only $5, and you're going to get a wonderful meal and dessert. You don't have to do a thing but show up, and you're going to get a show. So what I would like to do, just let me know, or bless your heart, Sue in the office. I just want to keep a tab of how many people are coming. That way we'll have enough food, and you can pay at the door. How's that sound? Does that sound okay? $5 pay at the door? Okay. I just wanted to let y'all know about that. And I believe Larry has an announcement.
As you know, last week I made the announcement about Diane and I walking the Hunger Fight Walk yesterday morning, and it asked for donations. I want to tell you something. Thank you from the bottom of my heart. From that announcement, we had 240 given in the plate, and another $70 in cash that had been given to towards the walk. Our team actually raised a little over $700.
Praise God.
And we had four members on our team, and we had a total of over 700, and was probably the second or third highest donation team that they had. It's just a wonderful, we had a gorgeous day for the walk.
Well, tell them the best part, Larry. Tell them the best part. You don't know what the best part is? Over 200 walkers, our team came in the top five.
Nice, nice, nice.
Not our team. The women part of the team came in the top five.
You couldn't keep up, huh, Larry?
Nope. The faster they talk, the faster they walk.
That's a good one. That's a good one. Also, you can let Larry and Diane also know, and they'll keep a tab if you want to just let them know about the Valentine's dinner. Anything else? Sounds good? Okay. Well, let us go to our opening words. The Lord is our light and our salvation.
Why should we be afraid?
The Lord is our stronghold of our life.
What are we to fear?
Let us shout with joy to God.
Let us sing and make music before our God.
Amen.
Amen.
Let's do it.
Yes, ma'am. All right. If you would please stand and look to the screen behind me, we will sing Here I Am to Worship.
Light of the world, it's drift down into darkness. Oh.
grab your hymnals and turn to number 885, we will have our affirmation of faith. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is the one true church, apostolic and universal, whose holy faith let us now declare.
We believe in God the Father, infinite in wisdom, power, and love, whose mercy is over all his works, and whose will is ever directed to his children's good. We believe in Jesus Christ, Son of God and Son of Man, the gift of the Father's unfailing grace, the ground of our hope, and the promise of our deliverance from sin and death. We believe in the Holy Spirit as the divine presence in our lives, whereby we are kept in perpetual remembrance of the truth of Christ, and find strength and help in time of need. We believe that this faith should manifest itself in the service of love, as set forth in the example of our blessed Lord, to the end that the kingdom of God may come upon the earth. Amen.
Came up today. There's a lot of you here. I have something to show you and the congregation. What do I have here? A flashlight. That's right. We have a flashlight. Can you tell me what a flashlight does? It does what? To see in the dark. How many of you have ever used a flashlight before? All right. Yes, you have. And it helps you from falling down. If you can't see in the dark, you're in pretty much bad shape, aren't you? You need light. Now, we often talk about how, I'm going to scoot down right here. We talk a lot in the church about being the light for other people. We shine our light. What do we mean when we say we shine our light? Zachary? We spread the love. We spread whose love? God's love. We spread God's love by being a light to other people. When other people are in darkness, we can be like this flashlight and spread the love of God. So, whoops. What do you think's wrong with this flashlight here? What? Battery's dead? Let me check and see. It's empty. I think I might have something that helps, so hold on a second. Okay, let's see. Here's one. And it usually takes two, so let me see if I can find the other one. Okay, let's try this. Have to put it in the right way. So if we're the flashlight to share God's love, God is the power. Yay! We got a flashlight going. God is the power that sends us out to share God's love and light. We are called to be light to the world, but we have to have the power of God. We have to have the power of the Holy Spirit. Because without those batteries, we're not going to be able to shine very good. We're not going to be able to shine our light and let people know. So you always have to have batteries. You always have to be in touch with God. You always have to let God give you the power that you need as he offers to each one of us his love. Let's bow our heads. We thank you, O God, for the love of Christ in our hearts. And that you put in us the power we need, dear God, to share with the world your great love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Here we go. Do we have the mic? Okay.
I actually forgot to highlight and was reminded. I need to remind everybody, what's next Sunday? Potluck. Okay. I just wanted to make sure everyone was aware. Sorry for the mishap.
She got her piece of candy. She's very patient. She waits to the end. And then she gets her piece of candy. And we're going to be patient while the ushers come forward as we prepare to share the love of God and worship in God's name through the giving of our tithes and offerings. Let us pray. You most gracious and loving God today, we thank you from the bottom of our hearts and lives for the blessings you bestow upon us. And we pray, O God, that the power of your love works in us and through us to spread the good news of your great love. We thank you for every gift and every giver, and may it be blessed to your work in the world. In Jesus' name.
Thank you.
People, and I just want to mention both Sharon Harris, who went back into the hospital and I believe is still there, as well as Jean Story, who has her second round of chemotherapy starting this week. And I do want to share with you a little piece of celebration. Since we're at the second service, you all weren't part of this at the early service, but we have a new member of our congregation who many of you know, Don Giles has joined the church. He serves as an usher and a worship assistant, and he's on the trustees. He already is doing the job of membership, but now he's been baptized and has officially said, yes, this is his church. I want to be among you as one of us. Amen. So if you see Don, maybe next week at the potluck, you might want to say something to him and welcome him aboard and give him encouragement for being a part of this church. He loves this church already, and he loves you too. Amen. Let's go to God in prayer by quieting our hearts and minds, closing your eyes, bowing your head, and taking a few deep breaths. And open yourself up to the presence of God in this silent time. Because God wants to speak to you. hear his voice calling your name. Jim and Mary Stowers. We offer it all to you. The good, the bad, the ugly, and the beautiful. And you love us through it all. We pray your blessing upon each and every one we have named and those that remain unnamed, for your spirit to surround them in a very special way today. Especially for that new life. Each new life is a gift from God. We pray for those places in our world and in our community where there is suffering that seems too great to be borne, to be endured because of loss or illness or violence or war. And we know that you suffer and cry when we suffer and cry. We pray to you, dear God, for the strength to be your called people, servant ministers, dear God, each one of us. Give us the guidance, give us the means, whatever it is that we need, dear God, we pray to you today. That your church may be pleasing to you in all that we are and all that we do. May it be for your work and your kingdom and not our own. And help us, O God, to be sincere as we pray the prayer that you gave us to pray when we say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
If you would please stand and look to the screen behind me, we will sing, Oh Lord, You're Beautiful.
Thank you.
Let us share this morning together our scripture found in the fourth chapter of Matthew, verses 12 through 23. Now when Jesus heard that John had been arrested, he withdrew to Galilee. He left Nazareth and made his home in Capernaum by the sea, in the territory of Zebulun and Naphtali. So that what had been spoken through the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled. Land of Zebulun, land of Naphtali. On the road by the sea across the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. In darkness have seen a great light. And for those who sat in the region and shadow of death, light has dawned. From that time, Jesus began to proclaim, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." As he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who was called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." Immediately they left their nets and followed him. As he went from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, in the boat with their father Zebedee, mending their nets, and he called them. Immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and curing every disease and every sickness among the people. This is the word of God for the people of God.
You know, I just realized who we have playing the drums over there today. Jason. Yay! Are you on a break? He came back for... Happy birthday. I looked over there expecting to see Ron, and then I noticed Ron was in the choir, and I said, somebody else is over there playing the drums today. Thank you. When I was young... Back in the good old days. I used to wonder what it would be like if I was blind. I had a cousin who went blind at a fairly young age, and I was kind of curious about that. I used to watch him. It was fascinating to see him maneuver his way around our camp meeting tent. He knew it better than I did. He seemed to know his way around there, even though he didn't live there. Then there was a time that he operated a little magazine stand and sold candy and gum and magazines. And I was amazed how in the world he did that when he was not sighted. He seemed to have an amazing ability to sense your presence even before you announced it when you were in the room with him. He would start speaking to me, and I didn't know he knew I was there. He could see with his hands, with his ears, with his sense of smell. He did amazing things. And I was so fascinated with that occasionally my brothers and I would try to play a little game where we would blindfold each other and take turns walking around blindfolded to see if we could navigate our house, if we could find our way around, and guess what? we couldn't. And so I discovered that his abilities were even more amazing. Because I could not get around as well as he could. Now, unless we're, young kids, most of us don't go around practicing walking in the dark. It's not something that we feel the need to do. But I think we do it every day, and we become pretty good at walking around in the dark. It may be the dark of grief or loneliness. It could be the darkness of uncertainty about what tomorrow will bring at work or at home or in the world. Or the darkness of unrelenting worry about our children or our grandchildren or our aging parents. Or sometimes the darkness is this nagging feeling that something's physically wrong with us, but we can't quite put our finger on it. It could be the darkness of fear of losing one's job, or the despair of long-term unemployment, or the darkness that accompanies depression or chronic illness. Whatever it is, we have all gotten so good at walking around in the dark that these things become normal for us, and it seems like it's never going to change. It's only when the light does shine upon us that we can tell the difference. I don't believe you've heard me speak about a dark time in my family when my cousin committed suicide. She was a very young woman in her early 30s with her whole life ahead of her. 7 months prior to this, I had performed her wedding ceremony, and then I was called upon to do her graveside service a few months later. Now, that was dark enough, but the saddest part for me was watching how much suffering my aunt and uncle were going through and not to be able to do anything about it. They went through their grieving, and I went through my grieving. It didn't help that we lived in different states. They lived in North Carolina, and I lived in Florida. And their way of working through their grief was to stay busy. And they threw themselves into work. It was close at hand, and it was very demanding work, and they could keep their thoughts and minds away from the darkness, which threatened to overwhelm. So healing was years away for them. And even now, even though it's been 25 years, some little reminder can bring back the darkness in a flash of light. Because you never quite finish healing. But the promise of healing is there. Indeed, the promise holds that the wounds will heal enough that we will be able to laugh again. We will be able to enjoy life again. That light mostly replaces the darkness after all. It is only God's promised light shining on us that offers us so much more than even that kind of healing that only time can bring. This is the coming light of lights, which will forever take us out of whatever our current darkness is. And the wonder of it The amazing beauty of it is that the light shines and begins to illuminate us even now, even in our current darkness. We know this must be so, for we hear it in our gospel, the words which Robin read for us from the Gospel of Matthew. Because I imagine those disciples who Jesus called had also probably grown accustomed to walking around in the dark. Now, it's true that their lives could have been pretty good ones. They had a good income through fishing. The business provided for them and their families, and it was maybe gratifying to continue on in the work that their grandfathers and their fathers had done. Probably they had families to go home to and a community where they were held in very high regard. But even so, we know they lived at the same time in a country that was occupied by the army of another. That they paid taxes to a ruler who was not their own. And of course, it may have been that one among them had really wanted to be a carpenter and not a fisherman. Or had it in him to be a farmer, but needed to go work in his father's possession, in his father's career. And we also know for sure, because it comes to all of us, if we're human, that their story included the pain of living with what is could be an unspeakable loss. So there must have been in these disciples something that longed for the light. Or else they would not have abandoned so quickly all that had been. To follow Jesus, this one who promised them something more, light in their darkness. And perhaps, like you and I, they had become accustomed to walking in the dark and had even given up hope that things would substantially change for them. But in Jesus' voice, they heard a promise of light in the darkness. And so when Jesus walks by and calls them by name, the light shines upon them. And they do what they could only do, and that was to go and follow. They just dropped their nets. Excuse me. And follow him. My cousin died in 2013. And I sometimes wonder what became of his cane, you know, the white cane that people who are blind use, that helped him make his way in the dark. And now, my brother uses one, my brother George, seeing in the only way that he can see on this side of the grave. And it's a sign that he has adjusted to walking around in the dark, and for that we are extremely grateful as he continues to lose more and more of his vision. He gains more and more skills and ability to do what my cousin did. But the promise is that the day will come. And perhaps signs of that day have already started to arrive. As we hear the voice of Jesus calling us to step into the light of the new day, the something more that has been promised to us and He has in store for us. Walk in the light. Walk in the light. Amen and amen.
All right, if you would please stand and look to the screen as we sing Shine, Jesus, Shine.
Single day, a world of darkness. And may God's blessing rest with you, the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the love of God, our heavenly Creator, the fellowship and communion of the Holy Spirit. Rest now and abide with each of you. Go in peace. Amen.
Thank you. Amen. Oh, are they different?